I believe with all my heart. Every ounce that I have, that God hears and answers prayers. I believe that for Miss Jackie Sue. I believe that for Miss Wanda. I believe that for Mickey Keene. I believe that for Emily. And I believe it for everybody that we mention. We have to pray. When Nick was praying, after he got done, and could not help but think about the children of Israel, how that the scripture, I believe it's in Exodus chapter 1 or chapter 2, the latter part of the chapter, where it said that God heard their cries. I think Jonah was with us, and I'm not turning this about us, I just want to talk about prayer for just a minute. When we rushed and got to Lebanon, we had five or six doctors sitting there looking at us and telling us our boy was not going to make it. He was dying. And they asked us the question, do you want us to operate? I'll never forget thinking, I cannot lose my boy. I looked at them doctors and I said, you do your best. And they said, you want to see your boy before we operate, because they didn't think he was going to make it. I said, I sure do. And I went out there, and Jay didn't know he was even in the world, and I dropped to my knees in the middle of that trauma unit. And I didn't care who heard me, and I was hoping everybody could hear me, especially God. And I prayed. No, I begged. And I pleaded, God, no. Don't take him like this. I prayed for basically 5 hours while he was in surgery. And the father woke up. He remembered everything and he come home. I believe in prayer. God's proven it to me over and over and over again. This is going to be a good week. It's going to be a week where people get on with their lives, get back to normal. And we have to have faith in God that he will deliver and answer our prayers. And I believe it with all my heart. If I didn't, I would not even come Wednesday night for this prayer service. Because I believe God will hear it and answer it. And not just Emily and Drew, but everybody that has an ailment and a problem, a parent, or whoever it may be that's suffering, go to God in prayer and pray. And God hears our prayers. I believe it. You ever have trouble remembering? There's a few of us have a little trouble from time to time remembering. I remember when Wendy and I first got married, she didn't want me to be a police officer. I remember that. I called and got some information delivered to my house. Drew, she hid it from me. I remember that. And I remember when we was cleaning out the drawer, I found it. I said, what is this? And I remember the look on her face. Oops. You weren't supposed to find this. I remember different things that's happened over our nearly 30 years of marriage, and I'll never forget some of those things. And those are good memories. We remember sometimes things that's not so good, and we wish we could forget. But tonight, for just a couple minutes, I want us to think about that word. That word, remember. What does it mean to us as Christians when we think about our duty, our responsibility, our relationship with God, our relationship with Christ? What is it that's so important to each one of us that we are to remember? Well, first of all, on the first day of the week, we come together to remember, don't we? We gather around a table and we partake of the bread. It represents the body, and the cup, it represents the blood. and we're remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for our sins. So every week, and actually every day, a Christian remembers that. But especially on the first day of the week, we remember that sacrifice, that what it means to us and what it's done for us. I think it was Nick this morning that made the statement, the comment about counting your blessings. Can we count our blessings? No, we can't count them. We can begin to count them, but we can't count them all because it's too many blessings in our life. And one of those is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and we remember that. And something else we remember about Jesus is the presence that he has with us. Now think about that for just a minute. Do you believe that Jesus is present in your life? Of course you do. Of course you believe that Jesus is present with us because he's near his people. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, "Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." So whether we're going in for a procedure like I had, or whether we're going in for an operation, or we're going in for test results, or whether we're dealing with issues with some of our parents or our spouses is going through health problems, or whether we're just at a low point in our life, we know that Jesus is a present in our life, and he's present with us. You know, we don't like being alone. I think some of the biggest struggles that people can possibly face in their life, and we have many here that's living this, is to lose a spouse. That's hard. I don't know firsthand, but I've actually talked to people and tried to help and encourage people that have lost one, but it's got to be so difficult. That Dale, everything that you know is Rhonda, and Rhonda, everything you know is Dale. And when the closure is there, that you go home by yourself. I know how difficult it was for me with Jay, walking through the house and just identifying his things and his room and his chair and everything about him, and you just reminded of it over and over again, but only to imagine that someone has been married 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, whatever that case may be, and then you lose that loved one and you tell yourself, I'm alone. But the beauty for us as Christians is we're not alone, because we have Jesus. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." There's our word we started with. "But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So when we think about what we want to remember as we're going into a new year, one of the things we must remember is Jesus' presence in our life. Another thing we need to remember going into this year is Jesus' words. I said something this morning in my sermon about our study. You know, one thing that I really enjoy that I do several nights a week as I get by myself, I get alone, I read my Bible. I'll get to thinking about something during the daytime, get to thinking about a certain passage. I'll get home, and before I go to bed, I'll open my Bible and I'll read that passage that I was thinking about that day. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. This ought to be something you have highlighted in your Bible. You know, we think about the problems in our life. We think about the mistakes we make. And we know we're not perfect, and none of us are. But then we remember. We remember a feller by the name of Peter. Let's just start with verse 61 and read verses 61 and 62 for time's sake. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And listen to this. And Peter remembered. He remembered the word of the Lord, how that he had said to him, "Before the cock crow, you will deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, he knew what God had said. He knew what the Lord had said. He said, "You're going to do this. Not me, Lord. I will die with you, but I will not deny you. I'm going to be the one. If everybody else in the whole world does that, it's not going to be me." I can just see the confidence, because we have that as Christians, don't we? We have that. We build ourselves up saying, "I can be this person," only to go out and to fall to Satan from time to time. And then to be reminded of Jesus' words. And know that we did fall. So we have to remember Jesus' words, both those words of encouragement, but those words of correction, that when we do slip, when we do deny the Lord, that we can get back exactly where we need to be, and we can ask God to forgive us. And you know, whenever we have big things coming up in our life, the main thing is to be right with God. Hardest thing to do is to let go of someone that you love. But the easiest part about that is if that person is right with God. Because I could hold my son's hand and honestly say, "Jay, either way, you're going to be okay." Every surgery he went through, he was anxious. And he was worried. And I would hold his hand and we would pray. And I would kiss him. And I would say, "It's going to be okay." So we have to remember Jesus' words. Because that's where we find comfort, because he said that he will never leave us or forsake us. And that's the very best relationship that any of us can hope for. And then finally tonight, we have to remember Jesus is coming. We have to endure. And that's what I mean by that. We have to endure in this life. And know that it's going to end. You know, when I went into the Army, and I make comments, and you may get tired from time to time of my stories, and I apologize, but it's all I really know is where I've messed up and what I've thought in life. I thought going in the Army was a good idea until I got there. And I remember when I was there the first day, I thought, boy, this is a bad mistake. Bad mistake. Nobody's happy here. They're making me unhappy too. You go to bed that night and you say, "I hope it's better in the morning." You wake up next morning a bit better. They're still mad. And they're yelling at you. But you know, it got to a point where you just dealt with it. You know how you deal with it? How I dealt with it? I don't know how everybody deals with it. I'll tell you how I dealt with it. Is I saw the end. They're not going to kill me. It's going to last 8 weeks. And if that guy can do it, I can do it. Because look at him. And I looked at that and I said, there is an end to this. Matter of fact, in basic training, you have a cadence that you go through 5 more weeks and you're through, and 4 and 3, and you work your way down to 1 more day and you're through. And everything's pointing toward that end where you're done. And as Christians, we have to remember that Jesus is coming back. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, it's a passage I use a lot. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He has promised he's going to come again, and we have to remember that. But now when he comes, we don't know. And Steve brought that up this morning in class. But remember this, he urges us to watch. We have to be a people that's watching for Jesus to come. In Matthew 25 and verse 13, it says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But there's one thing we do know, that when Jesus comes, that the dead shall be raised. Another thing that we're going to know is that man will be judged on that day. And then thirdly, we know that eternal destinies will be determined when Jesus comes. Some things that we need to remember as Christians. We need to put them in our heads, and we don't need to forget them. Because sometimes we get caught up in things that's going on around us. There are certain things we don't need to forget. We need to remember that we have to be faithful to God each and every day of our life. We have to remain faithful. We have to be a Christian. Probably most everybody in here tonight is already a Christian. But if it happens to be one that's never been baptized for the remission of their sins, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to turn away from your sin and confess that Jesus is Lord, then you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. But if you're here tonight and you have forgotten, you didn't remember what you had and you walked away, or you have something in your life that has pulled you away from God and you're carrying a heavy burden with you, you don't have to. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes it's nice to know you have a place to go. We don't ever need to forget that. And when we think things are really, really bad, that we still have a Savior. We still have Jesus. And that's all that we really need. We're not ever alone in this life. We have a Father in heaven that wants us saved. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He wants us to live faithful. He wants us to be obedient. And he wants us in heaven with him. If you're here tonight and you need the prayers of the church, come while we stand and sing.